Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Charlie Stecker, and I'm going to be your host this evening. It is Wednesday night, which means it is special guest night. And special guest nights are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And what they are is on Wednesday, on this particular night, we have a special guest come on who's going to share a story, their story, any portion of it in any way they desire, because this is their special night. And they'll speak for about 15 to 20 minutes, and after that, we will take a moment and we'll go through a panel. That is right. We will have a live panel on this show. You are welcome to call in to be part of the panel. The call-in number for that is 646-595-2118. Again, the call-in number to be a part of the panel, 646-595-2118. If you've never called in before and you're a little skeptical about whether you want to be on the, actually be heard on the show, that's okay. Call in anyway. Let our co-host know who will be finding out who you are, but you just want to listen, and she'll leave you just to listen. But we do welcome you to call, interact, and be a part of the show. Again, about every 15, 20 minutes, after our special guest has shared what they want to, we'll bring each of our panelist members on for an insightful, some conversation, maybe some questions, some things that relate to the story or whatever was shared by our special guest. I do ask, for the sake of our special guest, it is their special night, that you keep your questions and insights focused on around what our special guest is sharing, be it their story, be it something, an observation they've made. We realize all of us, including self, have our own stories, and sometimes we can get lost in our story, and we don't want to do that this evening if we can help it. Because, again, our special guest is the focus of tonight's show. With all of that being said, I am going to take a moment here, and I'm going to read you a bit of information on our special guest and tell you who she is and what she's about. And without further ado, let me get doing that. Here we go. Tonight's special guest is Anne Marie Rose Bizek. Now, Anne Marie, if I mispronounced your last name, please forgive me, and you're welcome to correct me when you come on the show. Anne Marie is from Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, Canada. She is a survivor of childhood sexual abuse at the hands of many. As Anne Marie relates, I have suffered physical abuse, sexual abuse, and mental abuse ever since I could remember, from my mother to her boyfriends to my stepdad. My stepdad's father started out by resenting my mother for choosing the party life over her children. That's when things escalated. He was not only my abuser, Her first abuser was a babysitter, her stepdad's friend. I remember visiting the police station, but my mother's party life led me to meet five or more men who either sexually assaulted me or I had to watch them abuse her. The hardest part about abuse is people not believing you, people denying your truths. Today, I'm in a healthy relationship of 3 years with three fur children. They're a hamster, a dog, and a cat. But I still have to take each day in stride. I suffer from depression, social anxiety, BPD, and for folks who don't know what that is bipolar disorder. I have shut myself off for too long, and it's time I start dealing with my trauma. I try to utilize apps and childhood abuse recovery meetings. Anne Marie is a consistent participant on NASCA's new daytime recovery meeting series on Zoom and is joining us on the radio shows for the very first time. As she shares, for more in-depth type of healing and support, I turn to the NASCA Zoom meetings 3 days a week. We've become a family. They become a part of my weekly routine. I cannot thank the NASCA founders enough for this opportunity. Welcome, Anne Marie, and wow, Anne Marie, I am just so honored to be your host tonight. My name is Charles Becker, by the way. I might not have said that at the beginning, or maybe I did, and I'm repeating myself. But I am blessed to be your host this evening. And Anne Marie, I realize this is your first time on. I am here to guide you if you need be. And if you don't, you go wherever you need to go. But you're going to go at your pace in the way you want to share your story. Okay? But before we do bring you on, Anne Marie, I am going to go ahead and bring in each of our panelists and get them on. And look at that. I should be paying attention. I just looked down and see that I have a new co-host this evening. My normal co-host, my co-host I usually have, she's here, but my co-host this evening is Linda out of New Jersey. So let me go ahead and get Linda on here, have her say hello, and welcome her. Good evening, Linda, and welcome.
Hi, Charlie. Hi, Anne Marie. I'm so looking forward to your story, Anne Marie. Anne Marie, I know from the daytime meetings, and I'm so looking forward to it. Charlie hosted my show when I did my story, so he's going to do a great job for you. Just relax and enjoy it.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for your vote of confidence. Thank you for being here, and thank you for stepping in as my co-host this evening. More in the future. Next, we're going to Joe. Joe's our Oregon ambassador. Joe is the woman who does, if it's done around NASCA and someone else hasn't done it, it's usually Joe that's gotten it done. Joe, good evening and welcome, sis.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to welcoming Anne Marie and listening to her story. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Joe. Thank you for being part of the panel this evening, and as not being a co-host, but still being here and part of the panel and support. We appreciate it, and I love you to life, sis.
Love you to life.
Thank you. Next, we're heading off to Washington State for Miss Penelope. So we're going to say hello to Penelope. Good evening, Penelope, and welcome.
Oh, good evening, Charlie, and good evening, Anne Marie. I am really feel privileged this evening to be on the panel of your show, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the time that we're going to spend together. So welcome.
Well, thank you, Penelope, and we are always excited to have you on our panel and part of our show. Next, we're heading to Val in New Jersey. Hello, Val, and welcome.
Hi, Charlie, and hi, Anne Marie. I'm so excited to hear your story. I met Anne Marie in the daytime recovery meetings, and I love her, and she's my new sister. So I'm looking forward to hearing your story, Anne Marie.
Wonderful, and thank you so much for being here and supporting Anne Marie this evening. Val, we truly appreciate you. It looks like we have a call that we're not able to figure out who they are, but we're going to find out who they are, and they're from the Northwest Territories, area code 867-688. I'm not going to say the last four, but you're on right now. Can you identify who you are for us, please? Okay, well, area code 867, first three numbers 688. We do welcome you. I will come back to you later. Maybe we get an identification. And Linda, if you could, from time to time, just see if we can get that person's information. If not, maybe they just want to listen, and that's fine, too. We do have a first time with. What's that?
I tried to get in touch with them, and it was silent, so there was no one talking.
I figured you did. I didn't have any doubt you did. Okay, and we have a first time listener on here this evening, just listening. She's actually someone, her and her husband, I know personally, and I thank them for being here, for calling in, and making that effort to listen this evening and be a part of this show. And again, if you want to call in and you want to be a part of the panel, we more than welcome you. That phone number is 646-595-2118. If you want to call in, but you don't want to be part of the panel, but you want to listen and you want to get a feel, and maybe later on become part of the panel, we welcome you again. We are definitely looking forward to you growing with us and being here. So welcome to everyone. Welcome to everyone this evening. And I'm getting ready to bring on Anne-Marie. Let me do that now. Anne-Marie, before I do bring you on, I do want to say this. You've heard several of our panelists, not only Anne-Marie, but our listeners, say that we're excited to hear your story. And you know what? The exciting part for me is what we've overcome, the warriors that we are, not our story per se, what we had to go through, but how we overcame it. And I do look forward to that day, and I hope it happens before I leave this earth, that we have to look so hard for someone to come on these shows, because no one is growing up from a child into an adult survivor of child abuse. But that being said, I am looking forward to being here with you this evening, Anne-Marie, and let's give you a welcome and say hello and thank you for your patience as we introduce. Good evening and welcome, Anne-Marie.
Good afternoon. Hello. You said
hey, what time is it?
Just so you know. Pardon?
What time of the day is it where you are?
It's 6:15 p.m.
Oh, yeah, it's evening there. I guess, yeah, here, or good afternoon there. Here it's evening, it's a little after 8. But welcome, and thank you so much for coming on this evening and being prepared to share whatever it is that's on your heart to share with us. I think it's awesome that you're involved in the daytime recovery meetings with NASCA, and that's been a very good tool for you to use, and I invite others to do that. So, Anne-Marie, I'm going to give it over to you. If you need some help along the way, you let me know. If I need to guide you, you tell me. I'm here to serve you this evening because you are a special guest.
Okay. Let's see if I can take this off. Start out by introducing myself. My name is Anne-Marie Bysak. I am 27. I come from Canada. And that's where we'll leave it. And then now let's begin my story. Ever since before I was born, I was doomed. I'm Indigenous. I'm Native. We were set up for failure. So ever since that, I think that's just followed me throughout my struggles with life. Constantly... Honey, can you please turn that down? I'm tired of hearing myself. Thank you. So with that being said, my grandmother was part of residential school, and her trauma has been passed down through the generations to each and every one of my aunts, my family, whether it be cousins at the same generation level as me or higher generation levels. We've all been affected in some sort of way. There's always been unhealthiness in our family. I don't know when my struggle started as an infant, but I can tell you that I do know a lot of it came from a place of loneliness, a place of fear and unknown And yeah, when I was, my mom was 14, 15 when she had me. So you can imagine just there alone, she never got to experience her childhood. She never got a chance to embrace who she truly was as a child. It's really difficult for me to hold any grudges against her. But at the same time, the resentments are always there. They've been forced on me. That's where the mental abuse comes in. People have told me throughout my life that your mom's not good enough, your mom's not healthy, your mom's not anything for you. So I've been led to just live with that. As much as I've tried to fight that, it's still there. So I'm going to begin by telling you the first memory I have of my abuse, which was being an infant, being in diapers, and with my sisters, my youngest sisters, being pushed into the corners of walls by my stepfather. I don't remember why. I think we might have peed in our diaper or peed on the floor. I don't remember. But I remember being pushed into the corner and just feeling like I wasn't good enough and feeling that corner of the wall hit me in the face. I remember the color of the wall. I remember I wasn't, like, my top half felt cold and my bottom half felt cold, but of course my private parts were covered, which was great because that meant that there was no recollection of any sexual abuse at that point, but the memory of the physical was there. And then where my sexual abuse started was I can't tell you an age, but what I can tell you is I was young, and my mom and my stepdad needed a night out, so they invited over their friend. I won't name him, but I do remember a name. It's stuck in my head. They invited him over, he babysat, and the way I remember it was he forced himself on top of me, and somehow I got away to a neighbor's house, and I told them, and we waited together until my mom got back, and then that's where that memory ends. And it's followed by a memory of sitting in the police station in Saskatoon. And I remember there being glass walls around the building. There were those blue kind of glass walls. Anyway, when we were sitting in the office, they gave me something to color and told me I was really brave. But that's all I remember. Point. That's when my mom, I feel like she started to run away from us. This is where things get a little choppy because I start to move around a lot. I moved as long as I could remember. I moved between my reserve, my home, which is Buffalo River, Dene Nation, Dillon. Sorry, I didn't explain that right, but it's Dillon.
If I may, can I just interject something on your behalf and for information for our listeners? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. So I just want to clarify for our listeners, when our guest is speaking of Indigenous, and some may not be aware of what that means or what it is, down here in the States, and so I'm going to do my best to give you a general idea and understanding of it. An Indigenous person in Canada would be what we would call a Native American here in the U.S., where we know, if you follow any of it, how to this very day no U.S. treaty with any Native American tribe has ever been truly carried out. and they're still stuck on living on reservations and in places, and it's a very sad life. I have been up to Canada, Anne-Marie, and I've actually walked, if you know who Theo Fleury is, I did his first Victor walk with him and spoke in front of Parliament in Canada's national capital. So just for general information for our listeners, and when she's speaking of Indigenous and the different places she lived, it's part and parcel to being in the U.S. being known as a Native American and living on reservations. Thank you for allowing me to interrupt and share that. I just wanted to make sure that our American side listeners that may not be familiar would have a better understanding of what you were talking about.
And, you know, that's just fine, because I completely forget that fact all the time when I speak to people in America.
Did I do okay with describing?
You did just fine. I have no interjections with it.
So can I get a gold star or just get like a copper one? and yes, we will laugh. We will laugh and joke, folks. You are here going to hear us laugh and joke. We know we're talking about serious topics, okay? And that's without a doubt. But we have to be able to find ways of a little comic relief, a little relaxation. And just so you're aware, Emery, you're just a couple years younger than my daughter. And what amazing strength you're showing. And first time coming out live on air with general public listening. I know you do our Zooms, but this is a bit of a whole different world for you, and you're doing really, really well. So I'm going to let you continue on. Again, I just wanted to make sure we clarified for our listening audience what Indigenous meant when you were saying it.
Okay, no worries. Thank you. I was talking about at this point, I don't know what was going on, but I know that I kept moving back and forth between my reserve and where in Saskatoon, back and forth between those two places, between my grandmother, my mother, and my stepdad. It was really confusing for me because it happened so often in such a small, short amount of time. As well as I was still processing the abuse that had just happened. As well as my grandmother was unhealthy because of the residential schools and what they did to her. She was trying to take care of me, but at the same time, she was trying to take care of her mental health, which you'll find that there's a lot that before they can take care of somebody, they have to take care of themselves. And I think that's where I'm at in my life, is I need to start taking care of myself before I can start taking care of somebody else.
And I think you're well on that path already, if I may share that with you.
Thank you. I do remember moving to live with my mother for a little bit on the reserve with her boyfriend at the time. And they were living with his father and his the boyfriend's son. The grandfather was another one of my abusers. He manipulated me into thinking that letting him play with my zipper would be okay, and in return I could drink coffee and enjoy coffee. Mind you, I was very young, didn't understand what it meant. And it's a really hard time because it's something that we've come to face but haven't, and I'll talk about that in a moment. So I ended up moving away from there to Saskatoon with I don't know who I moved back with. I think I was living with my grandmother, or my stepdad. Either way, we got a phone call. My mom was still living on the reserve with them. And we got a phone call And out of nowhere, she goes, "My baby, I have something to ask you. It's really important that you answer me honestly." I said, "Okay, what is it?" And then she asked me, "Did the grandfather molest you? Did he touch you? Did he do inappropriate things to you?" And of course, yes, Mom, yes, yes, he did. And I bursted out crying because, like, that was just a moment of relief, a moment of understanding. And then I spoke to her boyfriend a bit about it. I don't remember where we left off on the topic, but at the end of it, at the end of that conversation, that was the end of talking about it. We never spoke about it again. It never went to court. We never tried to charge him. That man is still in the community today. He is still alive. He is still, for all I know, doing horrible things. And that's where my mind sits with that man.
I think fully so.
Yeah, that's the end of that man. We'll move on from that. Because it's very frustrating.
How would you feel about doing a round with the panel about now? Would that be okay with you?
That would be perfect. It'll probably help with the nerves.
And I kind of picked up on that. That's what we're here. We're here to support you, not to put you. You're not under a spotlight. You're not under a timeline. You're not under. You know, there's nothing. There's no agenda. This is your night to share what you want. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to bring each of the panelists in and have them interact with you. First, I'm going to bring on my co-host, Linda. Linda, you're on with Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie, you're doing wonderful. What a story. And I so understand how you feel about trying to get that love, but you didn't get it from the time you were little and you felt that, and you're still trying to get it now. And also, when you talked about your abuser still being out there and not knowing what he's doing, I get that so much. So you're doing a fantastic job, and I look forward to hearing the rest.
Thank you.
And thank you, Linda. We appreciate what you're doing this evening, co-hosting and assisting me with our callers as they call in and getting identified who they are. Okay, Anne-Marie, we're going to go to Joe from Oregon. Joe, you are on with Anne-Marie.
Hi, Anne-Marie. You are doing such a great job. And it just sounds like you have been sort of jerked around or moved around so much that it's got to have been so confusing for you. And then such a young mother, too. 15 is very young to have a child. So you're doing well. And just take deep breaths, and we're here for you, okay?
Thank you. It's a good reminder.
You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. But you're doing very well, and that whole being moved around and back and forth and all of that is really uproots you. And childhood is when you're supposed to be rooted and grounded and supported. So. So bless you for that, and I too want to hear some more of your story. So thank you for sharing. You're doing well.
Thank you.
Yes, and I concur with what our other panel members have said thus far to you, and where you are. And I want to say my part, my little interjection before we bring our next panelist on with you is. When you mentioned your age, and I sat here thinking about this, the majority of the folks that I've hosted on this show have been where their abuse was 20, 30, some even longer than that ago, years ago. And yours is, in those reference, so very fresh, so very recent. And to know that you reached out for some help. And even tonight, I believe you're going to find additional help through support and love. I applaud you. It's sad the way the media, at least out here in the stateside, pushes off on what, you know, you fall pretty close to a millennial. I know my daughter does as well. And the agenda they put on them, or the road they put over them, and, oh, they're lazy, this and that. They're not. I mean, you aren't. And I'm just so blessed to have you here. And, you know, I gained another sister tonight. And as far as I'm concerned, my daughter gained another sister. And you know, I'm just really just amazed by your strength and your inner fortitude. And we are so here for you. And folks, other listeners, both tonight and in the future, if you need to speak to someone, please go on to NASCA.org. That's NASCA.org. You will find phone numbers for many of us all over the country. Reach out to us. If you can't get one person, you need somebody, call the NASCA. Someone will answer or someone will get back to you. That's what we're here for. And I'm glad, Anne-Marie, you've taken use of our tool of the Zoom with the recovery things. I'm glad that's helping you. And again, amazing strength for you to be here tonight. I truly appreciate you.
I would like to also add in there just quickly. Today, actually, Bill added me to the volunteer list. So if anybody wants or needs to reach out to somebody who they think that they would be more comfortable talking to just because of our age, you are more than welcome. I am here. My phone is open.
Oh.
Maybe not right this second, but my phone is here.
Anne-Marie, my arms, I don't have rubber arms, but they just shot out from the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania all the way up into Canada and threw themselves around you and gave you a big old hug. What amazing strength.
I felt that.
In your healing process, helping others heal, that is so strong. And you just got an amazing journey. Let's go ahead and get our other panelists on here while they listen to me yak on. Let's get Penelope from Washington so she can come on and say hello.
Hi, it's Penelope from Washington.
Hello.
You know, all I can think as you're speaking and telling your story, and by the way, when you said you were 27, I was a little bit stunned because you're just so articulate and just so well-spoken. And honestly, what I was thinking the whole time is you're such a rock star. And I remember coming on the show for the first time, telling my story for the first time in November. I was so nervous. And I woke up the next morning with a big smile on my face. So I think you will too. You're just doing an incredible job.
Thank you so much.
I had a question. Oh, you're welcome. I had a question. So you mentioned some sisters and some siblings, and have they gone and sought help and healing like you have?
I'm going to have to say no on that, actually. It's a really good question. They have not. They are struggling themselves. And I think that's where my inspiration for wanting to help other young people is coming from, is that they might not be ready to reach out and ask for this help or seek this help, but I am. And mm-hmm. I want to embrace it in every possible way I can. I wrote a status today on Facebook that basically told everybody that I had a vision of myself as a young child. And ever since this abuse started, that I would wear a cape. It would probably be purple. And I would be animated. And I would be the face for children who are suffering from abuse in their homes. And I think this is a great start to my journey on being that hero. Yeah.
You're doing it. You're absolutely doing it. You're absolutely doing it. You've done it. I mean, you're doing it.
Thank you.
And I just commend you for being so brave. And in my own experience with my siblings, and I'm a little older than you are, I just turned 50, and my siblings are just a few years younger than I. They're kind of watching me and thinking about it. And I just share that with you because, you know, whether you realize it or not, I mean, one of the things I realized by coming on the NASCA show and getting involved is that your siblings are watching you and you're inspiring them. And so your siblings are watching you, as is everybody else, and you'd be surprised. So you just keep doing what you're doing. And I know it's scary and uncomfortable because you're the first one, but you're blazing the trail with that purple cape, and you're a total rock star. So I can't wait to hear, you know, the rest of your story as the show continues, but I just want to share my thoughts with you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Penelope. Val, you're going to be up next, but I want to say, Anne-Marie, you have just become another one of my sheroes. You are wearing my favorite color, purple. I am 57 years young. Loved purple since before I knew what colors were. Matter of fact, I grew up in Philadelphia where I was a Minnesota Vikings fan, not because of who they were, but because they were the people that wore purple. And until later on, I realized I was supposed to like green. But if it's purple, I own it. And if I don't own it, I will be owning it shortly. So yay for my hero with a purple cape on, flying around. Love it.
Woohoo, thank you.
You're very welcome. So next we're going to go to Val in New Jersey. Hello, Val.
Hi there. Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hi,
I'm
Val.
I'm stinking proud of you. Stinking proud. You are
a couple
years younger than my daughter as well. And my mother heart just wants to reach out to you and hold you and hug you and tell you it's going to be okay. And all I kept thinking of when you were describing yourself with the purple cape is, yes, I agree with Penelope, you're a rock star, and yes, you're a hero. And what's really so exciting to me is that you're a hero to your own young self. And that's what I see in my head. And I love that vision. And I'm incredibly grateful for you in every way. And I'm incredibly grateful that you are so young. You do sound older, by the way, but you are so young. You just probably don't feel it because you've been through so much. But that you would be finding healing at this point, the possibilities are endless, and it's so clear that your desire is to use your pain and give it a purpose and help others. And you will do that. You're already doing that. You've already done that. And when I saw the posting today about the new group, I was in tears. I'm so excited. So I can't wait to hear more of your story, and I just really love you.
Thank you. I love you too, Val.
Aw. I just love my NASCA family, and I've been around it for, a couple hours now. I've actually been with Bill almost since its inception, since before these radio shows started, and we're radio show number 2,403. So I might have been around here a couple minutes now, but Val, thank you so much. I am going to ask my co-host this evening, Linda, do me a favor when you get a chance, Linda, check on our listening panelists, and see if they might want to come on. I know it's their first time calling in. I know them personally. I just don't want them to feel left out if they decide they do want to check in. So thank you. I appreciate that so much. I can see you're already doing that. Anne-Marie, we are going to go ahead and get the mic back in your hands, very capable hands, and I hope the age mentions didn't come across offensive. They weren't meant that way at all. It was just to hear that. Here's what immediately struck me. Holy crow! What happened to her could happen to my daughter. You know, my daughter's 29. She's a product of a divorce where I was, you know, taken out of her life for quite a while and fought like heck to get back in, and recently was just in the past couple of years been able to rejuvenate a relationship that had died. But, you know, asked her a time or two about abuse and she never wants to talk about it, so I leave it alone because I don't want to pry if she's not ready or maybe she doesn't have anything to say. But wow. So yeah, I applaud you. You know, many of us, I didn't begin my healing journey till I was well into my late 40s, early 50s, and true healing about 2-3 years ago when I reached out to the VA, Veterans Administration, to help me with suicidal thoughts I was carrying from my military service and my childhood. So, yes, wonderful. What an inspiration you are to other young folks. Thank you so much. So go ahead. Just a quick question I have for you in reference to your siblings. Not to share their story, not to talk about them. Where do you fall in line? Are you the oldest, the youngest, the middle?
I am the absolute oldest.
The absolute oldest.
And the reason why I say absolute in front of oldest is because I've got extended siblings. So I've got my two half-sisters, and then my one half-sister has three younger siblings, which I've adopted as my family as well. So they are my also siblings. And then I've got my biological father's side, and he's got three children of his own. But I am the absolute oldest out of all of us.
I understand what you're saying, because I have that peppered stuff between my family too. Mixture here, mixture there, some of this, some of that. Maybe a part of the other thing, but not so sure. So I'm with you. So I guess I'm going to add that to my repertoire. I am the absolute oldest as well. So great learning this evening as well. So where do you want to go next? What are you comfortable in sharing? What do you want to talk about? Maybe you want to talk about the shows, the Zooms. I mean, I'm a bit embarrassed by this, but I'm also very, very transparent and honest. I didn't even know they existed until I read your biography tonight. And I'm like, ooh, I should probably know about those. So I will be looking in, learning about them. But, yeah, I mean, whatever you want to talk about. But that definitely interests me because I want to learn. And it seems like it's done something for you, which is amazing and wonderful. So whatever, but this is your show to talk about what you want to talk about.
I think that would be a wonderful ending to my story because I think I'm almost done. But I'm just going to fast forward in my story a little bit to when I was moved to Saskatoon from Saskatoon. Hang on a second here. We've got a dog going nuts.
That's okay. Take your time. The fur babies need love too. Is the hamster crawling around up around your shoulders yet?
Well, actually, you guys would love to hear this. We just got a new dog. And she's just getting situated with her owner, our roommate, and he wanted to take off for a few minutes, so she's now panicking.
I just rescued a dog on April 1st. I rescued a pit bull, and are you guys still under shelter in place orders or anything like that up there in Canada where you are for the COVID-19?
Here in the Northwest Territory specifically, our borders are closed, but we decided to we have three phases to reopen the territory. The first phase is they're opening up businesses, but with strict guidelines in place. And then, but the borders are still going to remain closed for all three phases until COVID, we've got a vaccination and everything.
It could be closed for a long time then, but I'm glad you're okay up there. Yeah, we're all dealing with the trauma of COVID-19, but the reason I asked about that is I didn't have a pet. I didn't really think I needed a pet because what I do for my full-time living, I see people all day long and I counsel people all day long. So my time to go home at night was I get away from people and get away from the world, just relax and be with me. Well, COVID-19 came along and took all the people away from me, and there I was, would have been all day by myself, and by myself wasn't a good place because of where it led me in the past. So I got my little doggy, and I enjoyed reading about your fur babies as we were preparing to bring you on. So do you have two dogs now or just the one?
Well, one is specifically mine, but we have to welcome the new addition into our family. Ultimately, but the other one belongs to the roommate.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still part of the family.
The addition to the family is just because, like, I find with dogs, you have to be very. You don't need to communicate with words So if you're feeling like that dog, the new dog is entering your territory and invading your space, well, then your old dog is going to start to feel that tension and start to have negative reactions, right? So what I've been doing is trying to remind myself, this new dog is not coming into your territory. This new dog is family. This new dog is family.
There you go. Because and it's new to them, too. Like, hey, this is all new. So, well, really cool. So by the way, you don't have to rush. We still have the show lasts an hour and a half. You don't need to use the whole hour and a half. This is your night. Do what you're comfortable with. Okay. But we are a little over 50. We're about 50 minutes into the show. So I don't want you to feel rushed, like, oh, I need to finish, unless you're at that point where you want to, and that's okay too.
No, that's okay. So I'm going to skip over a few of my abusers just because their story is kind of irrelevant. It's kind of the same story over and over again about how my mom finds out and she doesn't do anything about it. Or for example, one of the stories, actually, I'm going to let you know. We moved into an apartment with one of her boyfriends. As far as I know, we moved to get in together, and he got her drunk, wasted. She passed, and he ended up forcing me to watch him play with her nipples and things like that, and kept asking me things, like odd questions. And when I say odd questions, like inappropriate questions. And it got to the point where I had to tell him to stop, to end that. And he finally stopped, and he gave me some Barbies to play with. After he gave me the Barbies, he left me alone for a little bit, but he came back out when I was starting to get sleepy. And then that's when he actually forced himself upon me. I freaked out, kicked him off, and he left again for a few hours. And then when my mom woke up, I told her what happened, confronted him. Nothing happened. We didn't go to the police. I think she ended up getting beaten up by him because she confronted him, and she didn't believe him at first. That's the torture that I've had to live with. That's an example, is just watching my mom get beat and these things forced her to shy away from her children and protecting her children. After that, I gotta say, I don't remember much, but I do remember moving to Kamloops with my stepdad. I remember my mom saying, you're going to go for a visit. You're going to go visit your sisters in Kamloops, and it'll just be for the summer. I'll come pick you up after your birthday. And I thought, okay, that's fine. Well, my birthday came and passed. She never came. School year started, and I got enrolled in school, and she still never came. Didn't hear from her, didn't anything. It was the most heartbreaking thing ever, because I lost her. At this point, I really lost her. I'm not just 12 hours away, or sorry, I'm not just like 8 hours away. I'm now an entire day's drive away. It was hard, but I had to come to terms with it. But at the same time, that's when the sexual abuse worst started, because it never stopped for as long as I can remember, for years. It was by my stepdad. And a lot of people would always tell me, your father's such a good man, your stepdad's such a good man. He takes you girls in and he does such wonderful things for you. He clothes you, he feeds you, he houses you. Those are things you need to be thankful for. And then behind closed doors, I was getting abused. I was getting molested. I remember one time, this was near.
If this is too hard for you, you don't have to talk about it, okay?
I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm just trying to gather my thoughts on it.
Sure.
One time I wanted to visit my friend, go spend the night at her house, and my dad kept telling me, no, no, you have to do something for me in return. You have to do something for me in return. And eventually the day came, and I came home from school with her to pick up my bag and to tell my dad I was going. And he said, you still haven't given me what I asked for. And he pulled me into the bathroom, told me to come with him to the bathroom, and he tried to bend me over the sink to abuse me, to hurt me. And I remember crying so hard because that's not right. I remember crying so hard because I knew my friend was out there. I knew if I cried loud enough, if I just kind of made that cry for help, somebody would come and he would be seen trying to do this to me.
Right.
But he was smart. He immediately turned from trying to manipulate me and abuse me to shame and regret and immediate give me whatever I want so I don't cry anymore kind of thing. And then I eventually, and this is where my mental health comes in and how unhealthy way of thinking, my unhealthy ways of thinking would come in, is because I thought this was okay. This is how you manipulated a situation. This is, somebody did something wrong to you and you cried.
Survival. You were going into survival mode, so whatever it took to stop that.
But I started using that in relationships in my later years. Okay. Sorry, my dog he's looking at my bacon.
Yeah, okay. You still have a lot of later years to come, my younger sis, and a lot of later years to come. But and you're realizing these things. So again, I'm in awe of the fact that at 27 years young, you are realizing and coming to understanding of these. Maybe not fully grasping them yet, maybe you are, but the fact to be at your age and have what you have, it sucks dirt what you've been through. Absolutely ludicrous. It's insane. It should have never happened. But to hear where you are today and the strength that you have, not only in your journey for yourself, but your willingness and desire to be there to help others in their journey, that just speaks volumes. And so I applaud you. How about we do another round with the panel? Is that okay with you?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Hey, had you ever heard of Theo Fleury?
Pardon?
Had you ever heard of Theo Fleury, Canadian hockey player? Okay,
no,
we have to look him up. He's a Canadian hockey player that exposed the abuse of the Canadian children in the Young Canadian Hockey League, and every year he does a Victor Walk for survivors of sexual abuse. Childhood survivors of sexual abuse are now adults, and I was up there for the very first one with him and got to walk in. He's a former NHL hockey player, Stanley Cup, all that good stuff, but really good person, and definitely he's indigenous as well, has indigenous roots, so someone you want to connect up with. Let's go ahead and get my awesome co-host this evening, Linda, in here and have her share some time with you. Linda, you're on with Anne-Marie.
Wow, Anne Marie, your story has so many twists and turns, and I'm so sorry for some of the stuff you've gone through. I have to ask you, whatever happened when your mom abandoned you? Did she ever come back?
Depends on which time you ask. This is the last time when she left me with my stepfather. She tried. I was put after the, when I finally came to about the abuse to everybody, I was put in foster care and she tried. But after that, she had different priorities. It was always about boys, always about guys in her life and how they were more important than us. So at the end of it, no, she's actually still jumping around from guy to guy.
And that's how she copes with probably her own damage.
I think
And that has nothing to do with you. That doesn't diminish your value or your worth or your lovability at all. Just know that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for your story. You're doing incredible. So proud of you. So thank you.
And Linda, thank you for your co-hosting this evening. You're doing incredible. And thank you for your gentle reminder I just saw there. I'll definitely pay attention to that and get down there. Next, we're going to bring on Joe. Joe out of Oregon. You're back on with Anne Marie.
Hi, Anne Marie. I just wanted to say I noticed a bit of questioning or something when you were saying about how you use this in other relationships. It was something that worked for you, and so it's not doesn't make you a bad person or anything. It's something that stopped the abuse, and that's what you learn. And so I just wanted, like Linda was saying, just to tell you that it's not a reflection on you or anything like that. It's just a coping mechanism that you came up with that worked. So hopefully that helps.
You. And I would also like to point out that it's important that when you do notice these things, these characteristics that have been passed on to you, or coping mechanisms that have passed on to you, and when you start to pinpoint them, it's easier to work on them and develop a healthier way of thinking.
Yes, perfect. Perfect, because
and
you're not internalizing it. That's great.
Exactly.
That's very healthy. All right. I like it.
So somebody ID this special guest, because I got a feeling her dates are off. You are so mature for a 27-year young woman, and wow, amazing, amazing. Yes, you're spot on, and you're inspiring me, and I love it. So thank you for being on again with us this evening. Let's go to our next panelist, Penelope, out of Washington State. Penelope, you're back on with Anne Marie.
Thank you, Charlie. And Anne Marie, to what Charlie stated earlier in the show, after I'd come on as a panelist, I did not in any way mean to say that, you know, offend you at all when I mentioned your age. And I shouldn't have even said, I should have phrased it differently. You are an exceptionally articulate person.
That's quite right. I didn't take any offense to it.
Oh, yeah. No, but you really are. I work with all ages of different people, and I have, you know, people a lot older, you know, than you are that are not as articulate as you are. So you're obviously just a phenomenal human being. And you said something that really resonated with me about when you were talking about your stepfather and the abuse and how he had his reputation was, and he had been lauded as, you know, just such a good man, right? Such a good man in the outside world, you know, that saw him, such a good man. And I know, and I walk with you in having experienced what you've experienced by a man who was thought the same, such a good man. And sometimes it's very difficult to tell or to think about telling what happened to you to your peer group that hasn't had your experience? Would they, you know, would they believe you? I don't know what thoughts went through your mind, but I bring this up because that really resonated with me when you said that about your stepdad's reputation. And I am so glad you found NASCA, because we have all had very similar experiences and emotions. And, you know, it's a place where you can truly be heard. And I hope that, you know, you feel understood. And I just want to let you know that I really walk with you, and I could really resonate with a lot of what you said. And I think you're amazing.
Thank you.
Do you have a relationship with your mom currently?
It's broken right now. Yeah, she's following a path that is not the same as, not even close to mine. We aren't even, we're going in two opposite directions. I'm going on the path of healing, and she's actually taken herself back a step.
Yeah. That's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. It really is. Especially when your mom, you know.
To come to the realization that she's doing this.
Yeah.
As somebody who you want to look up to, you don't want to see that side of them. You don't want to hear that they're not doing okay.
Yeah.
But
right.
Just got to be there for them. And that's what, just open my door. Open that window. Just say, I'm here. Come join me if you want me.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard when you're on a different path than your parent. And that resonates with me. One of the things that I learned through, you know, my own process is that you get to reparent yourself when you, you know, try and heal it. You're an awesome parent to yourself. You've got an awesome parent there.
Thank you.
Within yourself. Yeah. First class all the way.
Powerful. Powerful. Well, thank you, Penelope. If it's okay with you, I'll move on to our next panelist.
Yes. Thanks, Charlie.
You're very welcome. Val, you're back on with Anne-Marie.
Hi, Anne-Marie. You're doing such a great job.
Thank you.
I just feel I resonate with the wishing and hoping for the mom to be the mom that you need. And I just feel your broken heart at how many times she had the opportunity to rescue and stand with your truth with you, and she couldn't do it. And I don't think she's even now doing it. But I really liked that Penelope used the term reparenting, because I've been trying to study that myself in my own mother-daughter situation. And it's so true. It's so true. And I think when you're done here, give it a few days, and then I really want you to listen to yourself, because you're going to inspire yourself even further, even though you're inspiring all of us, because you are strong. You are so strong. I don't want to jump ahead in your story, but I'm looking forward to hearing anything you have to say about, like, what kind, like, at some point were you able to find professional help and counseling, and how you came to understand more about yourself. But the mother situation, it just resonates with me, and I can just feel that pain, and I stand with you in it. I love you.
Thank you. Love you too.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Val. We do have two additional, we still have our listening audience who's listening that called in for the first time tonight. So thank you to them. I'm not sure if they're both husband and wife are listening, but I know who they are, and I appreciate you calling in this evening. We do have two additional panelists who have come on. We don't have names for them, But we're thinking maybe one of them you may know, Anne-Marie. They're calling in from the Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. I'm going to attempt to bring them on again and see if they will want to talk. And if they don't, that's okay. And then we have somebody out of New Jersey, area code 201, first three numbers of your phone number, 993. I will not put a full phone number out there because I don't want people's personal information put out that way. But I will be coming on to you folks shortly, bringing you on in an attempt to have you interact with Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, I was rereading your biography and listening again to each of the panelists, and I have a question that please do not feel obligated to answer. If it makes you uncomfortable or if it's not something you can answer, there is no mandatory thing to have to answer this question, as I may be going into territory that just isn't chartable yet or doesn't want to be chartable. But my question is this. I'm rereading, and seeing things about mom with boyfriends, stepfathers, and things like that. Do you know who your biological father is? And if you did, had you been afforded an opportunity to have any kind of interaction with him?
Oh, that's a very good question. I do know who my biological father is. I've always known who my biological father is. I don't know why I was never given the option to be with him versus my mother, but we do have a relationship. It didn't start until I was graduated. I was already past the state, the abuse. A memory that I have of him from when I was young was that he bought me a truck. He didn't buy me Barbies. He didn't buy me girl things. He bought me a truck. So that kind of gives you an idea of how young he was, as well as his involvement in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Absolutely. And again, this is your story to share the way you want in what makes you comfortable. But I feel honored that you answered it at all. I mean, there was no obligation to it. So I believe in the power of prayer, meditation, whatever people want to apply to it, and I will be utilizing that towards all your relationships. And I feel a bit of – I understand why you're dealing with your mom the way you're dealing with her. Toxicity is not something you need to be around, and you don't need something that's going to draw you back. And I don't know whether this may resonate with you or not. I'm hoping it will, or maybe you've already thought about this. My biological mother was my main abuser. And subsequently, just a few years ago, she's in her mid-70s now. She's in her late-70s now. I began to reestablish a relationship with her to whatever extent you can with a person like what she is. But here's what I've learned is I treat my mother like a campfire now. And what I mean by that is from a distance, she looks warm and inviting. If I get myself too close, it gets a little too hot. If I get myself right on it, I'm burnt. So I keep her at that distance where she looks nice and warm and inviting, and it keeps things safe for me, and I don't get caught up in her hullabaloo. So I don't know if that resonates with you at all, but I'm glad.
Oh, yes. Without the seeing, it definitely resonates, I have to say, because I do that. I think that when I say people told me all my life that she was not capable of being my mother, I think it was also their way of trying to help me understand that take her as she is and don't expect too much. Don't expect anything out of her.
Well,
but it took a long time to come to that realization.
Right. If it's okay with you, and it doesn't have to be, but if it's okay with you, I would like to hold your mother up in my prayer life for her, if that's okay with you.
Please do. I do as well.
Good. Well, here's the area I'm going to be praying for your mother in. My gut tells me, my inner spirit, my feeling, Mom, your mother has been through some sort of hell herself, even prior to your birth. and she has not found a way to deal with it. And I'm going to be praying that I got a feeling, Miss Emery, that you may just be that flame, that flicker, that spark that ignites your mother's path to her healing in her time when she's ready. Don't allow yourself to be diverted. You stay on your path. I think your mom's going to end up looking up to you, if that means anything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm super proud of you. Let's get on and let me try to see if we can get these two folks, the other two guests on. We're going to go to the person that's area code 867-688. 867-688. And no, it's not Anne-Marie, because Anne-Marie's already on with us. But we do know this person is from the Northwest Territories. We're going to give you an opportunity. Are you on with us now?
No, I'm here. This is actually Christopher. I'm Anne-Marie's partner. So I've been kind of listening, and I just had moved downstairs just because of that other dog that's here. she has been reaching out. I know a lot through different groups and stuff like that, and has been talking about this radio show for the last little while here. So, like, I know that she was definitely looking forward to telling her story here today. I have heard parts of the story. I'm hearing more in detail of the story today through this radio show, but I'm here just to kind of show my support and be here for her. I definitely want to say, Anne, like, you are an amazing person and you are so strong, and I'm just so proud of you being able to share your story with people and just watching you grow and heal through everything. I just want you to know that I love you and I support you, and I'm always here for you, babe.
Oh, man.
I'm crying.
Christopher, whoo.
Yeah.
I'll give you a picture. I'm a bald-headed guy with an earring hanging out of my ear and a goatee, and people are intimidated by me for some stupid reason. But the tears are flowing right now, brother. God bless you. Man, my those rubber arms are rubbing up there, stretching on up to Canada right now and just giving you a big old brotherly hug and a chest bump, man. What an amazing man. What an amazing individual you are. Thank you so much. Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's all I know to say. Thank you. Wow.
Right.
Anne-Marie. What a blessing. What a blessing to have Christopher in your life. This is the first time I think I've had the support system and this through another online at the same time on the panel in my few years of doing this. So, and the words you said were just so powerful, Christopher, and to share that love, even in tonight, saying that you've heard things tonight that you weren't even aware of, and here you are with your compassion and empathy and love. And, oh, man, all right, I gained another brother and a son, too. His name's Christopher. So thank you, Christopher. We appreciate you so very much, and you're welcome back anytime. If anybody up in Canada ever needs to call down here to the States, and I know it costs Canadians additional money to call into the States. I have unlimited calling into Canada, so you can find my phone number on NASCA's website, Charlie Stecker, S-T-E-C-K-E-R. Just call down, ring the phone a couple times, or shoot a text if you can, if it doesn't cost you anything, and I'll call you back. I speak to a lot of people in Canada several times a week because I can call into Canada for free at no cost. So I want to offer that, Christopher, both to you, because perhaps there might be some things going along the way that you might need some guidance with, or may just need somebody to vent with. And, of course, to Anne-Marie as well. So, Christopher, thank you so much for being here and your courtesy of going to another room so we didn't have the new member of the House interrupting the show. What an amazing man you are. Truly appreciate you.
What a great guy.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I'm still sitting here trying to literally, like, okay, let me get myself back together. Got to keep on the show here. But, yeah, what an amazing man. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not revealing who the caller is that's listening tonight for the first time. But I know them personally, and that person has an amazing man in her life, and he has an amazing woman in his life. and I will be seeing them tomorrow. But thank you for calling in tonight, and you know who you are. You're listening. Anne-Marie, some new friends of mine who just wanted to hear the show and they're familiar with it are listening tonight, and I just wanted to make sure I acknowledge them. We are going to go to an area 201-993. We do know you are in New Jersey. When we attempted to get your name, we weren't able to, so we're going to hope maybe you're going to come on now so we can call you. I can get away from no voice and find out who you might be. 201-998, are you on with us? Okay, well, Emery, please don't take offense to that. Sometimes folks call in, and maybe their first time calling in, they've not done it before, and it's part of their journey to taking that next step to, hey, let me at least call in and feel comfortable that I can call in and listen, and then they move on to interacting later. So I just don't want you to feel offended to answer.
I was in the position as well. Don't worry. I think that will lead me to the next part of my story is where we'll finish off a little bit, I guess, recovery, how I've come to heal. I'm sorry, I'm going to steal a spotlight, Charlie, but let's do this. So, yes, Val, to your question, I have seen lots of therapists. I have mainly through the school system because of the foster care. It's kind of mandatory that social services checks in on you every couple months, every time. And then it's also mandatory that they offer you a chance at school therapy, in school counseling. So they take you away for maybe an hour out of your day in the school and just talk to you about how home life's going, how you're handling school life, and things like that. But like I said, they therapy you on the now. They don't therapy you on the past. So for that, I've had to go outer resources to outer places. And I've also found that financially daunting. And I'm going to say financially daunting because every time I think about something, I'm like, oh, do I have to pay for it? Oh, my goodness, I'm worried. But at the same time, in Canada, it's not really too big of an issue. Mental health they try to support mental health in so many different aspects. They try to offer so many free resources and things like that for people. Which I think is just phenomenal, and I feel so blessed to live here in Canada for that, and I'm sure it's like that in other countries too, but I can only speak for Canada. So I have gone, while I was living in Alberta in Edmonton, I have gone and done some therapy sessions, and that's where I discovered that I am not bipolar. Bipolar. I'm actually borderline personality disorder. Still a personality disorder. I have fears of abandonment. I have fears of change. I don't handle those things well at all. I react with anger. I react with very harmful and hurtful ways to other people. So I've had to put myself on medication, but that's beside the point. So just knowing that I do have some type of disorder is just, it's helpful enough for me to be able to start seeking the resources that I needed. And that's what I did. Was started seeking resources, whether it was through Facebook or through on Google Play or through just online resources. Recently, actually, I've been, like you were saying earlier, you've been affected in a different way than I have been, Charlie, by the COVID-19. You're having people being taken away from you. Well, I'm glad the people are being taken away from me. I'm absolutely hating people. The idea of somebody being out there and being sick is absolutely traumatizing to me. I get anxiety. For a while before I had to stop going to work, I was starting to get anxiety attacks. Every time someone would be behind me a little too close, I'd start to think, is my breathing off? Oh, my goodness. My chest would hurt. I would find myself just in a complete anxiety attack. So the COVID-19 has affected me different. I'm staying inside. I do go and take my dog out because as a dog owner, you cannot coop yourself up in the house. But what I have done is I've taken myself out of public spaces. I have trouble being in buildings with four walls. So right now, I've been working on my mental health in respect to trying to get back to work. And that's kind of led me to NASCA. And the Zoom recovery meetings, I'm not sure exactly how I stumbled upon NASCA to begin with. But I was just scrolling through one night and found this. And then the first thing that came to my mind was, wow, I found a volunteers page and everything just jumped out at me and I wanted everything on that page. But then I really had to like take some time and think about it and decide for myself whether or not I was ready in my recovery to be that person, to be that volunteer. And I knew because my mental health was already dwindling that I was nowhere near capable of helping anybody or being a volunteer in any aspect, but I have so much to offer, and I knew that. So I have been with the NASCA Zoom recovery meetings from day one since they've started. From what I understand, the day they started was the day I joined.
Wow.
And ever since that, I have gone from being alone and being shameful of who I was and my past and being aggravated with myself to learning. I'm learning who I am, and I'm learning to accept myself and accept the trauma that I've been through, because without accepting that trauma, I have no way of dealing with it. I'm still there. I'm still in a hurtful place. But like I said, I've gotten out of it, and I'm so thankful for that, because I've noticed a difference in my relationship with my dog. I've noticed a difference in my relationship with my partner, with the people around me. But at the same time, now my next goal is to get out of this dang house and into another building.
I was going to say, and you will. Did you, now in the States, we call it aging out of foster care. Did you basically age out of foster care in Canada? I'm familiar somewhat with CIS up there. I've been involved in quite a few cases up there advocating for children and young adults who, what we call down there, aging out. What do you call it? What do they call it in Canada for our listeners?
I would call it the same thing, aging out. But no, I never had the opportunity to age out of the system, and I feel very blessed for that. Like I said, a while back, we'll have to revert back a little bit, but I was put into foster care after I came out about being sexually assaulted by my father regularly. And the first, I was moved from between two foster homes in Kamloops. And then my mom came to pick me up and moved me to Alberta. And after about 6 months of living with her, I would say, that's when I talked to the school counselor again. And I told school counselor that my mom wasn't there for me. She was leaving at night and going and spending time with her boyfriend. So they put me back into the foster care system. And at that point, I moved between two foster homes before the court decided that I was okay to go live with my grandmother and my aunt and her family. And so I've been with my grandmother and my aunt since I was 14, I'm going to guess.
Okay.
And they're the two that raised me from the traumatized little girl I was to the adult that I am today.
Well, kudos to them then, and thank you to them for that. And like I said, I am for our American listeners, Canadian children in foster care in Canada actually have a lot more of a voice on their care in foster care in Canada than American children do who are in foster care. And just so you're aware, Anne-Marie, I'm a foster care alumni. I was in foster care for 10 years down here in the States. But I'm very familiar with the system up there. I'm actually a founding member of an organization called Protecting Canadian Children. And I've come up there regularly and speak at their events. And so I have some familiarity with it. But so grandma and your aunt, you said?
Yep, my grandma and my aunt.
And your relationship with them is still good today?
Absolutely. I have to say it's pretty good.
Is this your maternal grandma or your paternal grandma?
My maternal.
In other words, okay, so it's mom's mom. Okay. Okay, well, yeah. Wow.
The one who's experiencing the residential school.
I'm sorry, what was that?
My grandmother, the maternal one, she was the one that was experiencing the residential school.
Ah, okay. Okay. Well, you know, just a short time ago, you were talking about possibly wrapping up your show, and that was actually about 35, 40 minutes ago. And believe it or not, we're down to the last 3 minutes. Did an hour and a half go by or what? You have been amazing, Anne-Marie. You really have. And again, I applaud you. But I'm going to go ahead. I'd like to give each of our panelists an opportunity to give you a fond farewell as we do prepare to close out this evening's show. And I struggle with separation anxiety. And when I'm leaving someone, even when I first meet them, it's like, oh, don't go away, because it's abandonment and all those issues. So I always tell people, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going away. I'm just moving to another room for a while. I'm still there when you need me. But let's go ahead and bring on each of our panelists. I'm going to ask each of our panelists to keep it somewhat brief, but do give Anne-Marie a fond farewell and a final few thoughts from you. Linda, you are on.
Anne-Marie, you did an amazing job. I am so proud of you, and everything you've gone through and come through, you're going to be an amazing, amazing ambassador for young people and for all of us, really. So thank you so much for your story. And I want to talk to you about it afterwards.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Linda. Thank you for a wonderful job co-hosting this evening. Next, we're going to Joe out of Oregon. Joe, you are back on with Anne-Marie.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. I'm so impressed, and I'm so happy for how things are coming along for you now. And I Linda said, you're going to make a wonderful help for people. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Next, we're going to go to Penelope in Washington. We are down to 1 minute.
Anne-Marie, I'm sending you a huge hug from Bellevue, Washington, and you deserve the best. And Christopher's words to you were beautiful, and I'm optimistic that one day he will be worthy of you. So, good sign.
Thank you.
Thank you, Penelope. Val from New Jersey, you are on.
Anne-Marie, you are a rock star. You did such a good job. And I'm just so excited to see what is next for you, because you've only just begun. And I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled to hear your story, and I'm thrilled to see you put yourself in out there and be brave and courageous to do this and to be involved in the daytime support. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you. Have a good night.
And next we're going to bring on someone that I think, Anne-Marie, you might want to get this guy's phone number. Just a suggestion. We'll bring on Christopher. Hey, Christopher.
Hi there. Yeah, no, afterwards I'll certainly go and give Anne-Marie a big giant hug for all of you. Thank you all for supporting her, and she really, really was looking forward to sharing her story, and I just want to thank you all also just for listening.
Absolutely, Christopher, and thank you for being there where you are and for stepping up tonight and being here and sharing such beautiful words. As a father to a 20-some-year-old who's got, she's got the most amazing man that she could have in her life, not her dad, her fiancé. I'm happy to hear that Anne-Marie is sharing this portion of her life with you, and you're sharing yours with her.
Oh, definitely an honor. Thank you.
Well, folks, Anne-Marie, some finishing words. I do want to thank my two dear friends here in Pennsylvania who called in and were a part of the listening panel tonight, and our friend in New Jersey. Thank you for calling in. Anne-Marie, any closing words as I prepare to close out the show this evening?
I want to say thank you, everybody, for being part of my family and welcoming me into yours. And keep on being supportive to each other. This is amazing. What this group is all about is just amazing. Bottom line, thank you. God bless everybody.
You're very welcome, and God bless you as well. Folks, you have been listening to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Charles J. Stecker, Jr. I go by Charlie, and as I close every Wednesday night show when I'm the host, I say this: the only adult not responsible for childhood abuse intervention and or prevention is any adult who themselves was never a child. Good night, God bless, and Godspeed.
Blog Talk Radio.